That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I thought we weren't doing that. I thought we were doing the record scratch. That bothers me. Oh, hi. I'm Steve Rosenbloom, and this is Saturday Suckage. Boy, did we suck early today, Robbie Toronto.
Yes, we do. Hi, Chicago.
Saturday Suckage. I'm here. Let's see who else is. Grobber.
It sucks, and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora. No, it didn't happen last week either. So we're just going to eliminate him. We've cut Albert Almora. We are.
He's frozen.
Staying on brand right here. Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Yeah, well, here we are with that. Worst team in baseball. Toby!
Oh, my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
At the front of the review, we suck!
Terry Bars!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Get it off, man! Get it off! It's sucking my will to live!
Legendary Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
I mean, it sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucked to have a game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Justin Fields coach Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
More than that, your record still sucks. Pedro Grifol. He's Southside for Mike Quadi. And Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Robbie Triano.
Chicago, I'm back. Nice to see you, Steve.
Yeah,
it's a pleasure.
God, do we
I suck. Yeah, we suck really bad.
All right. As we've tried to tell you, welcome to Saturday Suckage. If you haven't gotten the point, then you're in the wrong place. We suck so you don't have to. We've started that early. We've stayed on brand, as they say in the business. We've stayed on brand because we have brand managers, and Suckage is our brand. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767. Also gets you to the Scores text line is asking right now, what time is Shane's meet? Well, you'll have to ask Shane whenever. I don't know what time his meet is. 773 text, you're going to play golf today. I'm going to suck today so you guys don't have to. Well, you got to, your tee time's
well
too
ahead
late.
Of you.
Yeah, yeah, we are. All right, here's what you need to know. My guest at noon will be Paul Caputo. If you don't know the name, you'll get to know him. It's a wonderful thing. He hosts a podcast called Baseball by Design. We're going to talk trash pandas and sod poodles and flying chanclas. That is, I can't wait to talk about that. Hub Arkers will join me at 1, and we'll talk about if, after the last OTA practice against Air, if the Caleb Williams era is over. Here's what else you need to know. Cubs-Cardinals game last night was banked. Bad weather. It'll be part of a July doubleheader. Shoto was supposed to start last night, but now he'll get some extra days, and he'll face the Brewers sometime next week, which is a great move. Because you got your new ace against your old nemesis. As for tonight, listen up. The Score has the only local broadcast of tonight's Cubs game against the Cardinals. Pregame starts at 5:40 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for first pitch at 6:15. You, yes, you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. The White Sox lost because that's what the worst team in baseball does. More on both teams later, whether you want to hear it or not. But first, fellow Suckageers, Shane Waldron might be one of us. He might become a Saturday Suckage Hall of Famer. He's now worked with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, sort of, during rookie minicamp before Dunze suffered an injury as if he were a White Sox player. And again, he worked with Caleb Williams during 3 OTAs last week. There'll be 3 more coming up. They're scheduled for this week. So it's play calling against Air. But when Waldron called plays against live ammunition, let's go back to what one of his old Seattle receivers said. Jackson Smith Njigba was at the Super Bowl, and he sat down with the CHGO guys. These were Adam Hogue, asked the question, asking about Waldron to one of Waldron's former receivers. This is how that went.
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Yeah. We're not live. We're not live.
I'm playing. good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person, great offensive coordinator. I was very lucky to have him my first year. Learned a lot from him. I think him and Justin will mesh well. And, you know, adding more guys around him, I think it would be great. So we'll see.
Do you have any advice that you give to Justin in that situation, considering that you know the coach that's coming in?
Oh, yeah. I mean he's going to love Justin. So really just Justin, be yourself and go make plays for real. That's it.
Fair enough.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. All the stammering about and fumfering and everything. And it was dissected here. That was back when Justin Fields was the Messiah and he needs to come around. We need to be fair to a guy who's bad. Okay. We weren't fair to him. He's now in Pittsburgh for a 6th round pick. So that's what one of Shane Waldron's former receivers said. And boy, doesn't that sound like he was born to be a Bears offensive coordinator. Fast forward to the combine. Interim coach Matt Eberflus spoke with deposed Seahawks coach Pete Carroll about Waldron as a Seattle offensive coordinator. Here's what interim coach Matt Eberflus said. He just gleamed about Shane and talked about him at length, about his ability to adapt and adjust. I want you to remember that phrase. And what he did with quarterbacks. I was very comfortable moving forward with Shane in that. Interim coach Eberflus continued, it's really about his track record. You have his head coach that was with him to say those words about him and talk to me at length about it. And me watching tape, what he actually did with all those quarterbacks, to me, that's proof. All right, Waldron gets credit for helping Geno Smith revive his career and turn him into a pro bowler, right? Somebody did that. Players, coach, combat. Does that mean, wouldn't it be fair to suggest that Waldron should also get the blame for making Smith 10% worse last season? His passer rating dropped from the low 100s to the 90s. I can't do math, but that seems like about 10% to me. That's still, however, above Justin Fields. But Smith didn't build on his success. That's what his numbers say. And Waldron didn't help him. That's what Smith's numbers say. So connect that dot to what Jackson Smith Najigba said when you heard earlier to this from The Athletic on November 27th. The Seahawks lost 31-13 on Thanksgiving to the Niners, and the Seahawks had been destroyed by Baltimore 37-3. And we're talking about the offense, and Shane Waldron, The Athletic, wrote, quote, solving the problem is contingent on addressing the second part of the Seahawks' identity issue, having a bunch of talent they haven't figured out how to use. Just keep that in mind. In detailing what needs to change, Carroll repeatedly mentioned maximizing their weapons. Here's their quote. Here they're quoting Pete Carroll. Make sure we're choosing the best routes for the guys. I'm just going to read this and you imagine any Bears offensive coordinator, a random Bears offensive coordinator. This is what Pete Carroll is saying about the guy recently, the new Bears offensive coordinator. We have unique talents and we got to make sure we're maximizing that. I feel like we're not. I feel like we're not seeing stuff. You saw the playmaking of Jackson against the 49ers, and he continues to show stuff that separates him from others, and we just need to give him more chances. Okay, end quote for now. Boom. Carroll's quote from Thanksgiving tells you Waldron doesn't know who his more talented players are. Boom. Bear, born to be a Bears offensive coordinator, right? You've heard this before. All right, let's get back to the Athletic report from November 27th, quoting Carroll. The guy who yammered on and on to Eberflus about how great Waldron is, quote, we've got guys in different areas of our game that can do stuff, I think, better. Our tight ends can be used better than we've used them in the last couple of weeks. So we need to get that going again. We have some real positives. We just have to make them come to life, end quote. Doesn't it sound like Carroll lied to Eberflus? Doesn't it? So continuing with the Athletic's narrative, Carroll speaking on the usage of the players is a notable pivot from his usual line of reasoning that focuses on his guys simply being better, cleaner, and doing their jobs at a higher level. The Athletic went on to say, this is the closest, and this is from November 27th, about the guy the Bears hired as offensive coordinator. This is the closest Carroll has come to criticizing play caller Shane Waldron and the rest of his offensive coaches. It comes at a time when Carroll is worried about an offense that has been among the worst in the league since beating up on the Panthers in week 3. Since that game, The Athletic notes, the Seahawks ranked 26th in points per drive, 28th in touchdowns per drive, and 30th in red zone efficiency while going 3 and out at the 4th highest rate in the league. Yep. Shane Waldron, born to be a Bears offensive coordinator. What's more, listen up, kids. After Waldron was called out by Carroll, Waldron's offense threw for 300 yards once, count them one time, a 41-35 shootout loss to Dallas. In the remaining 5 games, Waldron's offense never hit 300 yards and twice failed to reach 200. Born to be a Bears offensive coordinator. Geno Smith threw for 300 or more yards twice last season. He threw for under 200 yards 5 times. Born to be a Bears offensive coordinator. Now I'm going to say this. On the plus side, Waldron has called plays before, unlike Luke Getsy. And Waldron has an instance where he can coach the player who's there, unlike Getsy. Waldron called game-winning drives in consecutive weeks with different quarterbacks last season. It's an odd thing, but it was only the second time it ever happened that a team had two quarterbacks throw game-winning TD passes in the final minute of regulation in consecutive weeks. Waldron called the player and the game that were there in those moments. Fine. And yet, despite that, Waldron's offense ranked worse than Getsy's. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back row and the people in Hallis Hall.
I think so.
Waldron's
offense
ranked worse than Getsy's.
Oh, God.
Waldron's Seahawks ranked behind the Bears this season in total offense, first downs, touchdowns, third down conversion percentage, and red zone efficiency. Worse than Getsy's. I mean, those things seem kind of important, right? First downs, touchdowns, third down conversion, red zone. Seattle also had a bottom five rushing attack just to be. So, born to be an offensive coordinator for the Bears. This is why you needed to give Eberflus, or you needed to fire him, not give him an offensive coordinator, but fire him and hire an offensive guy as your head coach. All right, so I beat up Shane Waldron pretty good here, right? I've recited facts. I haven't had to really beat him up. These are all things that happened. These are all numbers. This, and you can find any way to twist it you want. Statistics are for twisting. And as Greg Blosch used to say, statistics are like your brother-in-law. They lie. Okay. But I will say this. I have some, and I will offer to you, hope for the Bears with this guy. And it could come immediately. So Stevie Suckage turns into Stevie Sunshine after this break. Thank you for listening to Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
That's huge. You know, having someone like Shane that's been in, you know, different positions with different, you know, QBs at different learning stages and things like that, it only helps me. I mean, so him being in the position that he's in and been in this offense for so long, obviously, it's going to help me. And it's a learning process for me. So I have to put in the work, but I also know that I have someone and you know, a support team and staff around me to help me and keep growing throughout the process.
Ideally, yes. That is Caleb Williams, the most important person in Chicago, the biggest name in Chicago. Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams, talking about Shane Waldron. We were talking about him earlier, and Stevie Suckage was detailing all the true facts about Shane Waldron's offense and how Pete Carroll seemed to have lied to Matt Eberflus about his ability to adjust and adapt. But now I'm going to turn into Stevie Sunshine. Caleb Williams talked about working with a guy who, you heard him. And again, Waldron's hiring at least brings a guy who is called plays in the NFL, unlike Luke Getsy had when he stepped in here. Not just somebody who could get you Aaron Rodgers' autograph, which didn't get the Bears very far. Now, maybe Waldron is not called the best plays, much like Getsy, or called the plays his coach liked, as Pete Carroll noted to the public. He didn't note it to Matt Eberflus. Oh, my God. But he comes here having called NFL plays. Then again, John Shoup called NFL plays, but moving right along. Waldron gets credit for making Geno Smith comeback player of the year. That was two seasons ago. Smith was worse last year. His completion percentage dropped from 69.8 to 64.7. Quarterback rating dropped from 100.9 to 92.1. And the thing about that average is, it's a drop, roughly 10%. His rating dropped to about the same number where we sang Adam Gase's hosannas for making Jay Cutler tolerable. Geno Smith last season was Jay Cutler's last season with Gase, and it was mediocre, but we thought it was great because Jay sucked in so many different ways. It was a significant decrease for Geno Smith. So whether you want to blame Waldron or Smith, it happened under Waldron's calling of plays. However, and this is the key point. This is where this is going. Seahawks quarterbacks under Waldron finished fourth in the NFL in passer rating in 2021 and 2022. And they were different quarterbacks. Connect these dots. You'll see where this is going. In Waldron's first year with Russell Wilson, the quarterback went to his ninth Pro Bowl. You can give credit to whoever you want there. But Wilson left, and in Waldron's first year with Geno Smith, Geno Smith went to his first Pro Bowl. That's two Pro Bowl quarterbacks in 2 years for Waldron. Compare and contrast, if you will. Let's try to do this without laughing. The Bears' one Pro Bowl quarterback in the last 60 years, and that was Mitch Trubisky, and that took, what, a bus crash or an apocalyptic flood or something to get him there as the 80th alternate. The key then, Waldron, small sample size, but what else do we have to go on, right? Is that first season, Waldron's first season with a different quarterback. This will be Waldron's first season with a different quarterback. His name is Caleb Williams. This is the season when the Bears, now Keenan Allen, surefire Hall of Famer, and DeAndre Swift, a better running back, they're added to the offense. Supposedly generational quarterback, even if he is a rookie, but the Bears are expected to make the playoffs. Could be expected to make the playoffs. Could be expected, should be expected to have a revelation of a season. See CJ Stroud for details. It can happen to you. Perhaps the best part, and it's been much discussed, a 7-win team adds a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and God, soon, it really need to add another pass rusher. But they play the third easiest schedule. I know it's based on last year, and if we base it on last year, the Bears would be a 7-win team, but based on last year and players on the rosters aren't filled out. So you're going to see the best player in the draft, albeit adjudged by a Bears executive where stupid gas pours through Hallis Hall on a regular basis. But the best quarterback in the draft has better weapons than anyone else in Williams' spot ever has. And a play caller who's actually called plays. And a play caller who has shown magic in the first year with a new quarterback. Maybe he becomes, he meaning the offensive coordinator, becomes predictable after that. But really, for this year, you don't care. Just do it right, Shane. Get him in a position to be that Pro Bowler get him in the conversation. That's all you need. Stevie Sunshine says there's playoff hope for your Bears. There should be. There had better be. And this is the bonus of that. If it fails, then we have a chance to get Matt Eberflus fired. And bringing in someone they should have brought in this year, an offensive-minded head coach in an offensive-minded league, was supposedly the best young offensive player at an at the most important position. Ryan Poles, hello. You know, the thing about Poles, claims to do all this background, valuation, scouting, legwork, everything. He talks about all the work put into finding the best players. And you don't bother to interview another candidate for a head coach? Excuse me? I'm just going to hang up and I'll listen for a humana, humana, humana. That's where the Bears are. I love the expectation. You know what? He's not ducking it. Caleb Williams isn't ducking it. He is saying respectful things about those veteran players, the guys in the locker room with him, guys on the field with him. He is saying the right things about, I'm here to listen. The idea of, I got two ears and one mouth, and I'm using them in the proper ratio. And we made the point a couple of weeks ago. He said, I don't think you can be a good leader unless you're a good listener, unless you're a good follower. And the ability to listen, to hear, the ability to teach players is a result of knowing what they're supposed to do. If you can teach somebody something, then you know the drill, you know the job, you know the play, in his case. And he's approaching it that way, and he's not willing to duck the expectations. I mean, that's why you're here. That's why you're playing the game. What are you trying to plan it? No. You've got DJ Moore saying it's going to be a race to 1,000 yards. They both better get there. If this Bear season is going to be what this Bear season should be, they're both going to get there. And providing Roma Dunze doesn't go all Eloy Jimenez, I mean, the guy got hurt like the first, he hurt a hamstring in his first practice with the Bears. You can't be the right guy if you can't make the club in the tub, as they say. But let's say he's going to be healthy. Caleb loves him. We know. And he loves Caleb. We know. And then you got Cole Kmet. For all the red zone troubles and everything else, and by the way, that's why Caleb Williams had a whole bunch of red zone trouble in the OTA, Cole Kmet is a top 10 tight end. Presuming the offensive line can block enough and Caleb Williams can run enough to do Patrick Mahomes karaoke, there's every reason to think that they're a playoff team. They're certainly in the conversation now. And Shane Waldron, for all his flaws that we saw in the last year or we've heard about in the last season in Seattle and whatever Pete Carroll wanted to lie to Eberflus about, there's something about that first year with a new quarterback, something unpredictable that is generally the key. Look, even Matt Nagy made sure that Mitch Trubisky didn't suck, and Nagy didn't want Trubisky, and Nagy ended up with him, and unpredictability was the key, and then suddenly stuff became predictable. So, there's every reason to think Caleb Williams could go C.J. Stroud this year, and he should. And if not, we get to fire Matt Eberflus. This is a win-win situation, people. I'm telling you. Shane Waldron good, Shane Waldron bad, whatever it is, it's Eberflus. Because Eberflus has already, nobody wants to talk about this much in the glow of Caleb Williams, but Eberflus sucks in hiring offensive coaches. Everything I read to you about Shane Waldron and his problems in Seattle, he doesn't, and he was worse than Getsy. And this is the guy Eberflus hires after he showed how much he failed by hiring Getsy. But maybe in the first year, which is all we care about right now, maybe in that first season, Shane Waldron can overcome the bad juju, bad karma, bad decision-making that Eberflus is responsible for. And maybe Shane Waldron can do with Caleb Williams in his first year what he did with Geno Smith in his first year and the only year he had with Russell Wilson. I'm thinking, yeah, because we're also part of the Wake and Bake Club here at Saturday Suckage. So, all right, next. I thought Trash Pandas was the best minor league baseball name I'd heard. That's why we named Adam Studzinski Trash Panda when he was producing Saturday Suckage. I heard one last night that is even better. It's unbelievable. And the logo is better than all of it. So before we talk to Paul Caputo about baseball minor league names and branding and how it tells the story of America, we're going to talk about something I learned last night from a woman wearing a Trash Pandas t-shirt. This all just sort of, it's like an Escher drawing. It just sort of turns back on itself. Saturday Suckage, I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
What other kind of trash they got?
It's Saturday Suckage on 670, The Score in Odyssey Station.
Trash Pandas. Thank you, Les. And speaking of trash, I got a text, two texts from the 309. Hi, waking and baking in the landfill city that is St. Louis. Okay. And 309, howdy, Steve. Didn't expect you to be on today. Always listening while waking and baking in St. Louis. Happy Memorial. Thank you. You too. Happy Memorial Day. And I didn't, look, I can understand why you wouldn't expect me to be on today. Nobody knows. It's the secret radio show, which is just another part of sucking. All right. So, but all these people are listening on the Odyssey app. It's free. So I'm going to explain this to you. Stop what you're doing and listen to me. A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything The Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today, search 670 The Score, and take us wherever you may go, even if it's into a bong in the landfill that is the city of St. Louis.
Smoke weed every day.
You betcha. All right. Last night, Joey Ice at my Trader Joe's comes up to me and says, there's a woman here wearing a t-shirt that says Trash Pandas. Well, Trash Pandas legendary on Saturday Suckage. And how it became Adam Studzinski's nickname was Mark Grody and I. Mark used to be on this show. This is his show. He's not on the show now, but it was his show. It is. We decided to adopt I saw the logo. We discussed it. And the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Real place in Alabama, real team. They changed their names. They're the Trash Pandas. I thought, a flying Trash Panda with a shield and strong. And we brought that up on the air, not telling Adam Studzinski. Now, he's from, the middle of nowhere, Illinois, wherever that is. And to him, Trash Pandas is not a cute name. And nor is the creature itself in real life. It's a raccoon, and he hates them. This is apparently a family thing where his dad, who we call Shooter, married to Sweet Alice, his dad would stand in the second floor of the house, open the window, and shoot them. Aim the gun out the window and shoot raccoons. And Adam had this. Now, he's a meatball about everything. He is over the top Studs is about this. So he became so angry that we were romanticizing Trash Pandas, romanticizing raccoons, he was livid. And we started calling him Trash Panda. That's his nickname. And every once in a while, Sweet Alice would text him, your father shot one today. So it was good. He would stand, open the window. I think in Adam's old bedroom, and aim the shotgun out this, and boom, there you go. Got himself a raccoon. So I thought it was the greatest. It was a wonderful name. They were affiliated with the Angels. They were an Angels affiliate. So, and it was easy to like them because that was shortly after the Cubs got rid of Madden and he went to the Angels and it became Joe Madden's Trash Pandas. Anyways, this woman is walking around with a Trash Panda shirt at my Trader Joe's and she's with her daughter and I had to go up to her and say, "Are you from Rocket City?" And she says, "Oh no, her daughter turns was she goes to U of I, an internship with some aerospace company in Rocket City, Alabama," which I'm sorry, I can't connect those dots either, but that's what happened. Mom's wearing it and mom goes, "Oh my God, the games are just, it's like watching a Little League game. It's horrible." And the young lady says, "It's fun. It's great," which is the whole idea. The name Trash Pandas is supposed to be fun. And this is part of the fun is the name. The logo's great, this flying raccoon with a shield. And the woman turns out to be a Spanish teacher in Wheeling. Tells me that she knows some of these minor league names are a lot more fun than they used to be. And she tells me about the flying chanclas. Robbie, do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what a chancla is.
She knew they were from San Antonio. And as a Spanish teacher, she would have particular knowledge of this. I have never heard of this. The team is named the San Antonio Missions, but for 12 games a year, they did it a couple years ago, they're doing it now. The Missions become the Flying Chanclas de San Antonio for the Minor League Baseball Copa de la Diversión, which means the Fun Cup. This is reading from the Missions website about the chanclas. And I asked the woman, I said, "What is a chancla?" And it turns out a chancla is the shoe. It's a, you know, a zori or a thong. I don't know what you call them, whatever you knew. I knew them as zoris and thongs when I grew up. Sort of sandal kind of things. This is what the grandma takes off her foot and throws at her kids and grandkids. That's what a chancla is. The abuelita takes off her chancla and heaves it at the head of a grandchild who's acting badly. And that's the name of this baseball team in the Fun Cup, the Flying Chanclas. Okay?
I love like baseball. That. I love baseball so much.
So, and on the website, the Mission/Chanclas, the Flying Chanclas honors the matriarch of the Latino family, the abuelita, and her symbol of strength, discipline, and love with its on-field persona for this special series of events. The logo for the San Antonio Chanclas, the merch they're selling, one is a baseball cap with merely with a zori, a thong, a shoe with flames coming out of it, right on the front where Robbie's current hat has that old English D for Detroit Tigers. But the other shirt, the other piece of this merch for the chanclas is even better. It's one of the, I don't know, my daughter called them sugar skulls, but it's you always see them with a Dia de los Muertos, the skulls, right? And they're colorful. They could be black, but they're usually going to have red and blue and yellow, right? Bright, and the skulls are very expressive. And right in the middle of the skull's forehead is a flying thong, a flying zori, a flying shoe, a flying chanclas. Chancla, I guess. Plural would be chanclas. A texter here, 312, the chancla is better compared to an old house slipper. Yeah, okay. All right. But it looks to me, it looks like what I grew up calling a zori or a thong with the separator between the big toe and the next toe. But whatever you want to call it, the idea that you're naming a minor league team after that footwear that gets thrown at kids by the grandma. Oh, my God. The chanclas will fly again, you should know, if you're in San Antonio. Next Friday against the Frisco Rough Riders. I thought it was only in Canada where you had teams nicknamed Rough Riders. And there are two of them up there, both in the same football league. On June 11th, the Flying Chanclas will play the Amarillo Sod Poodles. I had a texter text in, like, Sod Poodles are pretty cool. That's a good nickname. I agree. You know what a Sod Poodle is, Robbie? We're just testing you about all of this nonsense.
I'm guessing something with grass. I don't know.
Not far off. It's an old-fashioned nickname for a prairie dog. That's what a Sod Poodle is. And teams are now adopting this. They're embracing this. And it's telling a story of the area. It's a part of their history, the taxonomy of the whatever minor league town it is. And it makes it, come on, it makes it more fun. If you're going to, you could be the San Antonio Missions, and that bores me to tears. But if you could be the Flying Chanclas, I'm buying that. I'm buying that merch, right? I can't remember. The Bay Bears, that's what Rocket City was called. I don't know where they're Bears. I don't know where the Bay is in Rocket City, Alabama. But Trash Pandas, trust me, is a lot more fun. You'll wear that. And the mom thought the baseball was awful. I talked to you yesterday. And the young lady said, oh, the games are fun. It's great. Right. That's what, because she gets to wear Trash Pandas gear. And now you can wear Flying Chanclas gear. The guy who wanted the, who okayed the Sod Poodle, they're in the Texas League. The guy, the logo, his instructions were, I want the mouth to be John Wayne and the eyes to be Clint Eastwood. Yeah, sure. And there's a team, as cited in an Athletic article this week, called the Dairy Daddies. And their mascot, their logo, is called McCreamy. It is a bull that is, you know, sort of coquettish, strong, muscular, but
full of milk.
Kind of George Clooney-ish. I love these names, and I love the idea that there's somebody who can stitch together baseball, stitch together America's history through baseball minor league teams and the new nicknames, the new embracing. Kane County Cougars, it was nice for a while, but it's so 90s. Take a break. When we come back, we will talk with Paul Caputo, exploring the origin stories for minor league nicknames. I love this. I hope you do too. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What other kind of trash they got?
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Trash Banders, thank you, Les. And speaking of trash, I got a text, two texts from the 309. Hi, waking and baking in the landfill city that is St. Louis. Okay. And 309, howdy, Steve. Didn't expect you to be on today. Always listening while waking and baking in St. Louis. Happy Memorial. Thank you. You too. Happy Memorial Day. And I didn't, look, I can understand why you wouldn't expect me to be on today. Nobody knows. It's the secret radio show, which is just another part of sucking. All right. So, but all these people are listening on the Odyssey app. It's free. So I'm going to explain this to you. Stop what you're doing and listen to me. A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything The Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us wherever you may go, even if it's into a bong in the landfill that is the city of St. Louis.
Smoke weed every day.
You betcha. All right. Last night, Joey Ice at my Trader Joe's comes up to me and says, there's a woman here wearing a T-shirt that says Trash Pandas. Well, Trash Pandas legendary on Saturday Suckage. And how it became Adam Studzinski's nickname was Mark Grody and I. Mark used to be on this show. This is his show. He's not on the show now, but it was his show. It is. We decided to adopt I saw the logo. We discussed it. And the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Real place in Alabama. Real team. They changed their names. They're the Trash Pandas. I thought, a flying trash panda with a shield and strong. And we brought that up on the air, not telling Adam Studzinski. Now, he's from, the middle of nowhere, Illinois, wherever that is. And to him, Trash Pandas is not a cute name, and nor is the creature itself in real life. It's a raccoon, and he hates them. This is apparently a family thing where his dad, who we call Shooter, married to Sweet Alice, his dad would stand in the second floor of the house, open the window, and shoot them. Aim the gun out the window and shoot raccoons. And Adam had this. Now, he's a meatball about everything. He is over the top, Studs is, about this. So he became so angry that we were romanticizing trash pandas, romanticizing raccoons, he was livid. And we started calling him Trash Panda. That's his nickname. And every once in a while, Sweet Alice would text him, "Your father shot one today." So it was good. He would just stand and open the window, I think in Adam's old bedroom, and aim the shotgun out and boom, there you go. Got himself a raccoon. So I thought it was the greatest. It was a wonderful name. They were affiliated with the Angels. They were an Angels affiliate. So, and it was easy to like them because that was shortly after the Cubs got rid of Madden and he went to the Angels and it became Joe Madden's Trash Pandas. Anyways, this woman is walking around with a Trash Panda shirt at my Trader Joe's and she's with her daughter and I had to go up to her and say, "Are you from Rocket City?" And she says, "Oh no, her daughter turns was an, she goes to U of I, an internship with some aerospace company in Rocket City, Alabama," which I'm sorry, I can't connect those dots either, but that's what happened. Mom's wearing it and mom goes, "Oh my God, the games are just, it's like watching a Little League game. It's horrible." And the young lady says, "It's fun. It's great," which is the whole idea. The name Trash Pandas is supposed to be fun. And this is part of the fun is the name. The logo's great. This flying raccoon with a shield. And the woman turns out to be a Spanish teacher in Wheeling. Tells me that she knows some of these minor league names are a lot more fun than they used to be. And she tells me about the flying chanclas. Robbie, do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what a chancla is.
She knew they were from San Antonio. And as a Spanish teacher, she would have particular knowledge of this. I have never heard of this. The team is named the San Antonio Missions, but for 12 games a year, they did it a couple years ago, they're doing it now. The Missions become the Flying Chanclas de San Antonio for the Minor League Baseball Copa de la Diversión, which means the Fun Cup. This is reading from the Missions website about the chanclas. And I asked the woman, I said, "What is a chancla?" And it turns out a chancla is the shoe. It's a, you know, a Zori or a thong. I don't know what you call them, whatever you knew. I knew them as Zoris and thongs when I grew up. Sort of sandal kind of things. This is what the grandma takes off her foot and throws at her kids and grandkids. That's what a chancla is. The abuelita takes off her chancla and heaves it at the head of a grandchild who's acting badly. And that's the name of this baseball team in the Fun Cup, the Flying Chanclas. Okay?
I love baseball. I love baseball so much.
So, and on the website, the mission/young, the Flying Chanclas honors the matriarch of the Latino family, the abuelita, and her symbol of strength, discipline, and love with its on-field persona for this special series of events. The logo for the San Antonio Chanclas, the merch they're selling, one is a baseball cap with merely with a Zori, a thong, a shoe with flames coming out of it, right on the front where Robbie's current hat has that old English D for Detroit Tigers. But the other shirt, the other piece of this merch for the chanclas is even better. It's one of the, I don't know, my daughter called them sugar skulls, but it's the, you always see them with a Dia de los Muertos, the skulls, right? And they're colorful. They could be black, but they're usually going to have red and blue and yellow, right? Bright, and they're going to, and the skulls are very expressive. And right in the middle of the skull's forehead is a flying thong, a flying Zori, a flying shoe, a flying chanclas. Chancla, I guess. Plural would be chanclas. A texter here, 312, the chancla is better compared to an old house slipper. Yeah, okay. All right. But it looks, to me, it looks like what I grew up calling a Zori or a thong with the separator between the big toe and the next toe. But whatever you want to call it, the idea that you're naming a minor league team after that footwear that gets thrown at kids by the grandma. Oh, my God. The chanclas will fly again, you should know, if you're in San Antonio, next Friday against the Frisco Rough Riders. I thought it was only in Canada where you had teams nicknamed Rough Riders. And there are two of them up there, both in the same football league. On June 11th, the Flying Chanclas will play the Amarillo Sod Poodles. I had a texter text in, like, Sod Poodles are pretty cool. That's a good nickname. I agree. You know what a Sod Poodle is, Robbie? We're just testing you about all of this nonsense.
I'm guessing something with grass. I don't know.
Not far off. It's an old-fashioned nickname for a prairie dog. That's what a Sod Poodle is. And teams are now adopting this. They're embracing this. And it's telling a story of the area. It's a part of their history, the taxonomy of the whatever minor league town it is. And it makes it, come on, it makes it more fun. If you're going to, you could be the San Antonio Missions, and that bores me to tears. But if you could be the Flying Chanclas, I'm buying that. I'm buying that merch, right? I can't remember the Bay Bears. That's what Rocket City was called. I don't know where they're Bears. I don't know where the Bay is in Rocket City, Alabama. But Trash Pandas, trust me, is a lot more fun. You'll wear that. And the mom thought the baseball was awful. I talked to you yesterday. And the young lady said, oh, the games are fun. It's great. Right. That's it. Because you get to wear Trash Pandas gear. And now you can wear Flying Chanclas gear. The guy who wanted the, who okayed the Sod Poodle, they're in the Texas League. The guy, the logo, His instructions were, I want the mouth to be John Wayne and the eyes to be Clint Eastwood. Yeah, sure. And there's a team, as cited in an Athletic article this week, called the Dairy Daddies. And their mascot, their logo, is called McCreamy. It is a bull that is, you know, sort of coquettish, strong, muscular, but
full of milk.
Kind of George Clooney-ish. I love these names, and I love the idea that there's somebody who can stitch together baseball, stitch together America's history through baseball minor league teams and the new nicknames, the new embracing. Kane County Cougars, it was nice for a while, but it's so 90s. Take a break. When we come back, we will talk with Paul Caputo, exploring the origin stories for minor league nicknames. I love this. I hope you do too. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.